What's up, everybody? It's the Sight to the Blonde podcast. We're going to hit a lot of subjects today, and then I'm going to end it on the story of my engagement. Of those who don't know, I had gotten engaged. So I'm going to walk you through that process, how we met, the whole shebang. I didn't talk about it much on Instagram or social media because, you know, once you entertain certain types of vanity, I don't want it to steamroll and I can easily get sidetracked. I have a person with an addictive personality. So once I get started on something, I just keep going and going and going. So I'm going to get it all out of my system on this episode. But first, let's talk about Jalen Walker, the young black man who was shot, so-called shot at 90 times and was shot 60 times. And then they handcuffed his body, blah, 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 blah. Now, the black community is somewhat waking up to the point that they aren't, you know, mass protesting in every city like they were when Michael Brown was shot and all these other victims of police brutality. Like, you could tell, like, after Black Lives Matter was showing themselves to be who they are, the protesting and demonstrating kind of died down. Like, it's we starting to see it was worthless. We starting to see Joe Biden write executive order after executive order after executive order and still has not done anything for Black America or the police force. Not at this point. You know, obviously, I still believe they're going to end up defunding the police. But until that happens, they have to crank up these storylines. Now, when you see the video, you see him pull off. So already he in the wrong. Already he guilty. When you pull off, you basically are forcing the police department's hands to want them to want to take their guns out. They stand by and wait for these moments. They do. You think they go to the gun ranges every so often or every other day or every other week to not shoot anything? After a while, you get hungry. After a while, your gun get thirsty. And you want that drama. You want that action. If you are a red-blooded person, you want that drama. And as much as they say, oh, I'm trying to preserve life, we don't get... Some men sign up to do this. It's also in the Constitution that they do not have to intervene to keep you safe. Some of you should Google that. It's not anywhere in that Constitution that says the police officers and the police department have to keep you safe. They can serve and protect when it doesn't cross their life and death threshold. They don't have to intervene. If they see you literally get your butt whipped in front of people, they don't have to step in. There's no law that says they have to do that. This is the country we live in. You know they don't follow the U.S. Constitution. You know most of those politicians don't. You know police are set up by Freemasons. You know they most times don't follow the law. I don't know why people continually want to put their lives in their hands and expect a different outcome. That you go crying and whining, that your upended household that you come from, either you're single parent or single, or just an atrocity of a family background. We got to see that. We got to see you whining and crying, your parents whining and crying over something you did was so stupid as to put your life in their hands and expecting a different outcome. Now, they know they need us to be on their side as far as this spiritual energy to defund the police or get the New World Order police to come in. So what are they going to do? These storylines keep getting worse and worse. So now it's not enough to have 400 or 4 bodies dropped during the year from police brutality. Now they need it because it's election season. Now they need these storylines to be so out of whack that you just in your brain, you don't even go through the logic of what happened. You just hear They shoot at him 90 times and 60 bullets go into his body and they still handcuff him. Now, mind you, I know this country lies. I know the system lies. But you guys, you know, hear this story and your first thing you'd, oh, and then you compare it to Robert Cremo. Then you compare it to Kyle Rittenhouse. Then y'all go on and on and on how white folk are the standard of how to behave in this country. I can really get tired of those arguments, those apple and orange arguments. When black folk do something, we got to match it next to a white person who got away with doing something. And you don't even understand the logistics of it. You don't understand that most of these white shooters, that these people who get off, are protected. They're government puppets, government psyops. Y'all watch Stranger Things, and literally, I don't even watch that. But I know enough about it that they had these kids, and they show these kids going through some type of experiment. And people think that's just entertainment. Y'all sit here and saw Captain America, Winter Soldier, and saw Bucky Barnes go through a whole brainwashing mind control experiment just to be a hitman. And people leave this movie theater like, oh, it was a good movie. And don't think they do this in real life. Most of those storylines of what they already done, like I said before, demons do not create. They hand down these little experiments. They've been doing this ever since Kabbalah was a thing. Ever since ancient Egypt, they've been doing this. To the Phoenicians, they were doing it. The Canaanites, they were doing it. Anything that was a ritual or a ceremony that gets you to tamper with your emotional state, your mental state, to think you could lay down your life for a God or become a ritual or a sacrifice, they've been doing this. Forever they've been doing it. Just now we're doing it through Wi-Fi. We're doing it through the television. We're doing it through movies. I live in Fort Lauderdale. I live in the South Florida area, you know, next to Fort Lauderdale. I've been in the mall where I've seen young girls with older men that are not of the same race. That can't make me believe that they are related in some way. If I know that down here where sex trafficking and child trafficking is at its peak, that parents willingly offer up their child to a pervert, sexually offered their child a child. I'm not talking about somebody 17 and 18. I'm talking about somebody who's 14, 13, 12, 11 on down, that these parents give their child to a pervert that pays good money to be with their child. If you don't think the government can approach, that can approach a family and say, hey, we want your child for this. You sign an NDA, you get money in your bank account, they furnish you with whatever you want, and then they let your child go through that. Then they make it seem like your child's arrested. They make sure he's safe, and then they debrief him or deprogram him to where he doesn't know if he did anything that he knew he did, and they send him on his way, or they keep him in, you know, under close wraps. That's what the Robert Cremo, the third story, is about. If you compare Robert Cremo to Jalen Walker, you're just as retarded as I think you are. Because Jalen Walker, we don't go through his tattoos. We don't go through his background. We don't go through his social media to find symbolism. As well as how we've been finding it with a Kyle Rittenhouse. How we've been finding it with Robert Cremo. How we've been finding it with the mass shooter in the Chicago area at the movie theater during the opening of the Batman movie. Like, we have seen these. So you can never compare Jalen Walker or any other police brutality victim that is black. You can never compare it to these type of men, because these men are government issued. They're property. Robert Cremo's father ran for mayor. So he's already in the political arena. You think the politicians and all that didn't know who his son is? Didn't know he had a child? You think the government doesn't know this? Law enforcement was acquainted with Robert multiple times. Just like the Pulse nightclub shooter was acquainted with the FBI a couple of times before he even ran in there and shot up that gay nightclub. Then we see the Masonic numerology of the number 47. And some of you still complaining on my social media, but I can't find out what gematria means. It's not that hard. It truly isn't. If you want to learn it, just like I wanted to learn it, as much as you try, as much as you go into it and try to figure out yourself, the more you unlock your psyche and your mental and emotional state to be patient with yourself and learning new information so you don't get frustrated and you don't tap out and get mad and go in a conversation and hope other people don't understand gematria either so y'all can bond up and be in ignorance. It's not that hard. But what I said before is that you're always going to see the same numerology, the same Masonic numbers, which is 6, 33, 666, 11, and variations of 33, which is 23, 32, or even 333s sometimes. You even see 1133 sometimes. It's not that hard. So he has a 47 number on the side of his temple. 47 on his car. 4 plus 7 is 11. He drove around in that car being predictive programming material. We go through the narrative. He dresses up as a woman, a female, which is not like a conservative, which is not like a Republican, which is not like anybody who is a Make America Great zombie. No one really knew he had guns until y'all found out he had a couple of guns. I'm pretty sure no one in that city, in that town knew he had guns. I don't know why he figured he needed to dress up as a woman. No one was paying attention to him. Just for him to go up to the top of a building and start shooting at what is the most patriotic holiday. The most patriotic holiday that even Make America Great Again puppets will never mess up. But mainstream media getting y'all to believe that he's MAGA. Then he shoots up a patriotic event, which is not something anybody who's on Donald Trump's side or conservative right or Republican would ever do. So already that's 2 or 3 red flags. But he drove around in that car that said 47. He shot and killed people July, which is the 7th month, and the 4th day. 47, 74, it don't matter. It's the same thing. But what people don't understand is the warning signs behind that. Now, obviously, you've been seeing Beyonce on her, horse photo shoots of different horses of the apocalypse. But they're doing this in July. Why do you think they're doing this in July? July is also the 7th month. And I said this before about September. They invert. Satanists and Freemasons and the occult, they invert. So, Sept in the month September is, even though it's the 9th month, Sept means 7. So what they do to invert it is do all of their little mind control experiments, all their little monarch programming, all their little rituals and blood sacrifices. They'd like to do it during July. Because it's an invert. So like 9/11 is a warning month. They change it and you'll start seeing a lot of 7/11s. If you go to the picture of him having his car in front of his house, if you look behind the car, the address number says 11/5. Now 11 minus 5 is 6. Like I said, you're going to see the same numbers. 11 plus 5 is 16. The tower card. It's ready to come down. So all he did is invert it. So imagine July to them is really September. It's really the 9th month. So you're going to see a lot of, 911 warning signs that has anything to do with 11 or the number 9, which is inverted at 7. You're going to see a lot of that during this whole month because they're getting you prepared for the coming months. And I know some of you believe that once you find out these psyops, once you find out these little rituals, that things are supposed to happen like a microwave, like 30 seconds, boom, you're supposed to see it all. or everything is supposed to happen. It doesn't work that way. Everything is a buildup. They've been gradually building up. Just like how I told you how I do these episodes. Everything overlaps. So you can't really take one episode out of the whole show. Everything overlaps. It's the same thing with the occult. Everything overlaps. So it's not like, boom, here we go. The great reset happens. No, it's a buildup. The supply chains are disrupted. No. It's a buildup. Inflation, it's a buildup. Interest rates, it's a buildup. The housing crisis, it's a buildup. They've been just telling you, like the World Economic Forum, they've been saying New World Order, Liberal World Order. They saying all this now. They saying this like they did with QAnon. This is what they kept pumping out. Oh, Democratic Party or Satanists and child sex traffickers. They said this when QAnon was going, they said this every single day. Every single day, they said it so much you were sick of hearing it. But it's a buildup to get you, okay, oh, we're frenzied. Oh, it's going to happen. Remember that time when people thought Donald Trump was actually going to arrest all these pedophiles and the Hollywood elites? You remember that, how that happened and nothing really happened? That's what they do. They build it up. And so you guys wait for that one moment to happen and it don't ever happen. Everything comes to the end. It's all going to be revealed in the end. I think this is how the Most High works. The Most High himself does everything on his own time. He's revealing things in his own time. We didn't learn any of this about Freemasons and secret societies and what the government was really doing and what Hollywood was really doing. We didn't learn none of that in just one block of time, like 24 hours, all this information was released. No, it was a slow buildup. So you have to understand, this is how the occult is allowed to work. They don't have that much power to go from everything is hunky-dory, everything is all cool, and the next thing you know, here comes a new normal in a 24-hour block, and everything changes. You know, the currency crashes, the great reset, everything. No, it's a buildup. But, like I said before, this is what happens when you go to these American events, or you go to these pagan rituals, these pagan holidays. This is what happens. And I told you, people do not know they're on their last 4th of July parade. They're on their last Christmas. They're on their last Christmas party or their ugly sweater party. They are on their last St. Patty's Day, their last Halloween. And people do not understand. NPCs do not understand it. And they think and believe Jesus Christ is going to save them. They are going to these pagan holidays with Jesus Christ and God Save the Country and God Save America in their brains when they go and sit and watch that, and nothing about their religions has saved them. The man let off shots in a Jewish neighborhood, for one. That should tell you. Where he shot at was a bougie Jewish neighborhood. But it didn't save them. The so-called God's people. They weren't saved. Whoever got hit by them bullets, it was intentioned for them to get hit. People do not want to live by the Most High's commandments, and they choose not to. Brittany Griner. Now, this is another psyop and ritual and event that really didn't have the same effect that they thought it would. It would have. It really didn't. You could tell. When our energy isn't in something, it really doesn't get the same effect that they want. No one knows about it. No one cares. No one cares about Brittany Griner. No one watches WNBA. As much as they whine and cry about women getting equal pay as the men in professional sports, it's never a lot of women that jam-packs these stadiums. It's not a lot of women who watches female sports. Men don't watch female sports. Men are not paying $20, $30, or $40, or $70 for a ticket to watch female sports. And it's a shame women aren't either. But they're the ones on the front lines talking about pay us equally to the men. When you're not bringing in as a market, you're not bringing in as a product, you're not bringing in money. So I don't know how you can complain and cry and whine. And especially when most of the women that's in the forefront of this movement are gay. Megan Rapinoe is sickening to watch her and to look at her. She's not, you know, marketable. To who? Young females are not growing up these days looking at Megan Rapinoe and say, I want to be her. No one's looking at Brittany Griner and say, I want to be her. But the LGBTQ community, no one's even behind her. It's not a, like I said before, if black folk don't care, it's not getting, nothing's getting done. The spell is broken. The spell don't work. She went over there to Russia with, which already you go into a country that don't like LGBTQ community or plus nothing. You know, their laws is different over there. You went over there and still got caught red-handed trying to bring weed cartridges through. And even if you didn't know you had them, you got to be really stupid or always high to not know you had those in your pack. Because how did you get over there with them? Were you taking a private jet all the way to Russia? Like, how did you get there with them? You packed your bag. How you not know they were in your bag? I never got that. I never got, like, I remember a couple of, like, maybe a decade ago, Michael Vick got caught in Miami airport, tried to smuggle weed through a false bottom Coke bottle. Like, fam, as if you couldn't get weed in Atlanta, and that's where he was probably going. That story's always funny to me. But it's always these type of stories, or somebody unknowingly have a gun in their bag. Like, fam, you don't know you have a weighted bag, a gun in your bag where you put your gun in and you get caught at the airport. I never understood these stories, especially with celebrities. So I really don't believe what she's going through. Then they show her handcuffed, walking down stuff. Like, then they get her lesbian lover to go and plead for Joe Biden. It looks so silly, especially when Joe Biden is reading the teleprompter and is reading the teleprompter word for word. Every time he does a speech, he's reading it word for word. Even the parts he's not supposed to be reading, he's reading it word for word. We have the most incompetent image of a president. If you don't think America is faulting or is crumbling because of the president we have, man, you're in la-la land. America is destroyed. You could tell. The leaders ain't even leaders anymore. No one's strong. Not since the good old days, and the good old days was way back then. Everybody's so managed. Everybody's preoccupied in these secret societies. It just looks fake to me. Once you wake up and you realize and do a little bit of studying and understanding of how this world works, everything to you looks so, it looks blah. It does. It looks stupid. It looks like a circus. It looks like a circus you really wouldn't even want to go to. It's like a circus without the good circus acts. Like, I want to go in there and see some lions, and I'm seeing clowns. I want to see some animals. I want to see a horse dive from the top thing into a small pool of water. What I'm getting? I'm getting black men huckabucking. I'm getting women being whores and doing silly stuff and foolishness. And it ain't even interesting anymore what they try to come up with. Feminism isn't even working for that little psyop they try to do with Brittany Griner. It's not even working. Writing a letter to Joe Biden, please release her. She said she's guilty. How are they going to release her if she said she pleaded guilty? That's because black folk are already tired. We are tired of this whole gay thing. We are tired. No one cares. Tired. Every other artist that we have, or every other of an idol that we have, is either turning gay, promoting trans. Is getting too much. I love it that our people are waking up. It's getting too much to a point where we are waking up faster because everybody's resetting their minds. We are finding out really quick that this country ain't really for us. Now, the journey that we go from here, from there, is on your own. But most of everybody's going, doing their own thing. But people are waking up. Regardless of that, most of our people go into, you know, Islam, or go into Kemet, or go into Yoruba. Even though they're starting to wake up. They're starting to wake up out of America. The holidays aren't hitting no more. The pagan holidays aren't hitting anymore. Everybody's finding out what this world truly is and what this country is truly about. Just like the senator, Tierra Mack, I think her name was, the senator who stood upside down and started twerking. This woman was the one that was proud. She shaved her head, was proud, and said, "I am a black queer." And then as soon as she got caught twerking upside down and had everybody come after her, she tried to have an explanation talking about how everybody's racist because they spoke out against, she goes, "Me, a black woman. Now you a black woman. Before you were a black queer. Now you're a black woman and you're twerking because you think this is what our culture is. You think this is what our ideology is. You think this is who we are, we're supposed to be. And when we didn't fly to it, when we didn't fall for it, it was, oh, everybody's racist. Everybody's hating on me because I'm a black woman." Feminism is not working. Being queer ain't working for y'all, for us. I don't know why we dabble in it. It ain't working. And I'm liking the fall of it. I'm liking the fall of feminism. I'm liking the fall of this women rights issue with abortion. I'm watching it and laughing. Our people are coming out of it real quick. It's tiring. How you get up every Saturday and want to go protest and nothing getting done? Nothing's getting done. People are just laughing at you for being out there. Once you start understanding when mainstream media and their social media pages, when they start turning comments off, and when celebrities start limiting the comments that you put on their posts, that's how you know we are stronger than they are. That's when you know we won. We are winning. When celebrities who used to have the backing of major publicists and PR campaigns, you don't even see that anymore. It was a thing where you always heard from a publicist. You never heard from the celebrity. You always heard from the publicist when something happens. It was always the PR department or PR company that was defending celebrities. They don't even have that anymore. If we wanted to, we could pop shots on anybody's pages until we either get blocked or they turn the comments off. That's how I know they don't have the same backing anymore. They literally are by themselves in this fight. I'm kind of still shocked that some celebrities follow me on Instagram. Like, I remember the guy Jimmy Levy, who they goes by Fat Jewish, asked me about Gematria. And then Big Boy from Outkast follows me. I don't know why. I have no idea, which is probably, to my detriment, the reason why my pages are jacked up and they're shadow banning me. Because once certain celebrities want to find out what you're talking about, I understand that most of them are in the dark about a lot of what they do and they don't understand top-tier Freemasonry or top-tier occult symbolism and everything that's going on with them. They just are told to do it, so they get a little curious about what's going on to a point that they can't really obviously snitch, but they can watch what's going on. And to that detriment, that's the reason why my pages are always jacked up. But that's how you know we are winning. When you get celebrities who you really don't really care about, start paying attention to how you're working and how you're putting the truth out. It's an amazing feeling. It is, because you know how strong we are in this fight. And we really aren't even doing nothing. Fam, I don't even leave my house. I'm talking to you guys from my house. I'm not going out there with a machete or a sword or a weapon to try to take down the whole government and take down celebrities one by one. All we are doing is simply doing something that hurts them, which is telling the truth. That's a revolutionary act right now, is to be able to tell the truth and post it. Even if they try to, you know, go behind you and throw dirt about your name or your past or whatever, fam, it's worth it. Trust me, it is worth it. But for the life of me, I cannot understand why some of you know that NASA lies, know there's no such thing as outer space, and no matter how many times we find out that there is no outer space, that they literally just from day to week to month to year have been sending rockets up there trying to get you to believe that there's a space up there, that they have broken the firmament, and we can tell when they ain't broke the firmament, but they keep showing you rockets after rockets after rockets after rockets. Billionaires, I got a rocket after rocket after rocket. Oh, we're gonna go to space. We're gonna bring all these celebrities and these civilians to go see space after rocket after rocket, and you know they don't go nowhere. It is, I cannot understand why some of you know NASA is lying, know it's fake, and then turn your head to CERN and be like, yeah, it's real. I don't understand how you could think that. How do you not think that these two entities aren't together? They show you all this CGI mess in NASA, and we go through it. You see the pictures that you never see stars. They always show you Saturn. They always show you Pluto. They show you all these planets that don't even exist. They can't see nothing past that firmament, but they continually, every single day, somewhere in the media, they're talking about, oh, they landed on Mars. They got this telescope going up there. This planet's doing that. Before, a couple of years ago, they were talking about there was a planet made of straight fire that was just moving around. Then they said an asteroid passed over us. That asteroid is about the size of a bus passed by us. How do you listen to that information and be like, yeah, that's fake, and then listen to CERN startup and then be like, oh, man, the sky's a different color. Man, my shoes, the reality, there has been a shift. That's the new money word right now. There's been a shift. The Mandela effect. It ain't never been no Mandela effect. There ain't never been a butterfly effect. It has not happened. There's not a multi-dimension, and there are not multi-universes that we can jump in and out of. And it ain't going to be because some damn machine they didn't start it up. They told y'all, oh, CERN is starting back up. Oh, CERN is 666. Oh, there's the goddess Kali, the goddess of destruction, in the front of their building. They have a fake idol and a number that's attached to Satan, a loser, that they use for all their programming, which Satan is the father of lies. Yet again, we believe CERN is real. We believe they really took a collider, did whatever they did to a collider. Most of you don't even understand what they're doing. Did they shot some ray or some light or whatever they did, split a particle, whatever they doing over there. They told you doing that, and 24 hours after doing that, that our realities were going to change. Somehow you believe man has created a machine that can do what God do. There's never been a Mandela effect. Look who owns all these media publications. Look who owns all these news publications. Look who owns media, period. Look who owns it. For instance, Britney Spears. Somebody on Reddit said, oh, it's already starting. So our reality already changed. Britney Spears' skirt is black. You don't think that they've been planning to do this to screw with your minds and screw with your ability to think that man can create a machine, a device that can that our universe, our reality, our dimensions can change like that, like a finger snap, like Thanos? Y'all been watching Marvel movies way too long. Y'all been watching Spider-Man, the Spider-Man verse, the cartoon, and the one they just released, the Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, Thanos, the Avenger movies. Y'all been watching that too much. You must be watching it every other day to actually believe man has created a device that can just change realities. So somebody found out that Britney Spears' skirt was now black and it wasn't plaid. But if you actually look at the skirt, you could tell it's been digitalized. Like they changed the skirt. You can see it. It doesn't look real. It looks like it's already been tampered with. And if you go search it, who owns all of the media? Who owns Britney Spears? Who owns her image? Who owns all of Hollywood? Who owns the internet? Who owns the servers? They can change and mess with your brains and make you think people are dead, that who are dead are alive. They make you think that this color is that color. Somebody found out the earliest one was the thing about the Berenstain Bears. All they had to do, fam, was change the name. The reality didn't change. I saw somebody had two VHS tapes that said Berenstain and Bernstein when they changed it. It wasn't no Mandela effect. Just like, oh, Mandela was dead and then, oh, he was alive. They could have told you he was sick and then left it there. Most people, we thought he died. The same thing with Bob Barker. Now they saying, Bob Barker is age 98. He died when he was 94. No, he fell and split his head open, and then that's all you heard. Knowing people who are going to be conspiracy theorists that believed in CERN, they knew, we'll just keep him out of it. We just won't say if he's healthy or not. And that's all they had to do. None of us are going to ever see Bob Barker walking in our neighborhood. Bob Barker is going to be sitting, be bedridden for the rest of his days. He could be walking around his house the whole time, not tweeting, not doing nothing, and then waited to this moment. Bob Barker is still alive. He's alive. And everybody, it's the Mandela effect. Men don't have that power. They don't. What they're going to do is, what they really want to do is rip a hole somewhere where powerful demons can manifest themselves as if we're sitting, talking to our friends, drinking tea and coffee. They just sit next to us. That's how I think how powerful these demons are going to come through. If King Solomon had the power to see these demons and had these, put these demons to work, he did this without CERN. If you read the Testament of Solomon, Solomon did all these things with these demons. He put these demons to work as slaves. He sat and talked with these demons, knew their powers, knew their angels that created them. He did this without even having CERN, without even having a technology, without having a particle collider. He didn't have none of that. He had one ring that had a pentagram on it. And he housed these powerful demons with this ring. My belief is that they're organizing. Like I said, the Most High in Scripture has said, I'm holding the Antichrist back. I'm holding him back. I'm letting him be revealed at my time. It don't matter what they do in CERN. Ain't none of that is going to change anything. For these simpletons who believe in space and all that, that's for them. Who believe in, astrology and the stars and the Mercury and auras and manifestations, that's for them. It's for the simple-minded. That's what CERN is for. It's for the simple-minded. Just how you see these people in NASA when the rocket going out of space, you see the live feed of them cheering and clapping hands and knowing damn well they're lying. They're cheering and clapping hands. It's the same thing with CERN. You see them working. You don't know even what the hell they're working on. You just see them working, dancing most of the time, doing rituals in front of that little Cali structure. Then they show you some CGI effect and say, yay, this is what's happening. And people, everything, my reality changed. It ain't changed, fam. Don't be that sensitive. And don't be that gullible. It ain't changing. CERN ain't changing nothing. Them demons going to come through, and because the Most High is going to allow these demons to come through. That's all. There's no God particle. It's the Most High's power that they're trying to tamper with. That they're calling for judgment. That's all it is. It's prophecy being fulfilled. CERN ain't fulfilling nothing. It's just another fake dummy corporation that's soaking up millions and billions out of those people's pockets who live around it. Just to get y'all fooled into thinking that man controls, that has the power of the Most High. Or men can control realities. Y'all been watching Marvel. Y'all better come out of that Marvel universe real quick. For you really get fooled. Like in Thessalonians says, the disillusion. That you will believe a lie. That the delusion will be so grand that you would believe a lie. I'm gonna go into this scripture. The fourth book of Ezra. Chapter 15. Now this is prophecy. This ain't CERN. Behold, speak in the ears of my people the words of prophecy, which I will put in your mouth, says Yahuwah, and cause them to be written in paper, for they are faithful and true. Fear not the imaginations against you. Let not the incredulity of them trouble you that speak against you. For all the unfaithful shall die in their unfaithfulness. Behold, says Yahuwah, I will bring plagues upon the world, the sword, famine, death, and destruction. Jesus Christ is not bringing this. Jesus Christ is not stopping this. Yahuwah will bring plagues upon the world, the sword, famine, death, and destruction. For wickedness has exceedingly polluted the whole earth, and their hurtful works are fulfilled. Hurtful works. That means the Most High has feelings. That means the Most High is watching the wickedness that we're doing in this country, this earth, this world, and it's hurting him. Do you understand that? The Most High, who created all of this, didn't really create man to be this way. That's why before white folk, when it was nothing but black folk running this earth, he had repented that he had made man. Repented, because he saw what our works would become. That's like us disappointing our parents, continually disappointing our parents. No matter how much our parents tell the truth, speak truth to us, and show us a better way, we decide to be wicked. We decide to be the prodigal children. We decide to act the way we act. And it hurts our parents. So why do you don't think what we do in this lifetime is going to either make our creator happy or make our creator sad? How do you think he don't care? Some of you, I don't know. I don't see him. I don't talk to him. So why, you know, I don't think he cares. He cares about you. He cares you make the right decisions. He cares if you seek him. Therefore, says Yahuwah, I will hold my tongue no more as touching their wickedness, which they profanely commit. Neither will I suffer them in those things in which they wickedly exercise themselves. Behold, the innocent and righteous blood cries unto me, and the souls of the just complain continually. And therefore, says Yahuwah, I will surely avenge them and receive unto me all the innocent blood from among them. Behold, my people is led as a flock to the slaughter. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Egypt, which is America. He's talking to Ezra. And at that time, Ezra and the Israelites have already came out of Egypt. This is during Babylonian captivity. So what the Most High is talking about is future prophecy. He's talking about America. When he says my people are led as a flock to slaughter, it's all these doctrines. All you got to do is look at social media. Look at the Explore page on Instagram. I can't tell you how many times I see black women fighting, pulling hair, being naked, twerking. I even see it on Reddit. I see all these odd end stories. Black women tearing up restaurants, throwing things, causing tantrums, cheating, lying about. I remember that story of the whole McDonald's story of the father that shows up and supposed to bring all McDonald's for the kids, all her kids. And then find out that was a script, that it was fake. It was just it's a skit that they did. This is what it means when our people are led as flock to the slaughter, because all we are doing is playing. That's all we're doing, playing. All those rituals and all those practices and all that dehumanization of our race that happened to us during slavery, we're doing all of that for free. We're doing all of that without handcuffs. We're doing all of that without shackles. We're doing all that foolishness without a yoke around our necks. We're doing it because we're watching people who have become famous from doing it, so everybody wants to do it. None of us is trying to stop foolishness. We are watching. As soon as something happens, I've seen so many bystanders take their phones out just so they can get a glimpse and a shot of people fighting or women being a whore or doing something stupid. You don't even see our own people stopping each other from hurting themselves. We don't. And then you expect the police to not do it. Do you think the police and FBI and all these secret societies, these governments don't know what we're doing, don't know who we are? All they do is like, keep letting them do it. Keep letting them do it. It'll bring them to us. We can't touch the righteous. Have you ever looked around and understood that you have not seen police brutality with somebody who is righteous? that was following these laws, that came out of religion, that came out of these pagan holidays, you haven't seen that one victim that was righteous. All these women who getting stopped by cops or all these fights and all that, you're not seeing anyone of righteousness ever be caught unaware, ever be caught on a cell phone. You've never seen that. That's why this system perverts you. It gets you to believe that what you're doing is cute. Everybody wants to see it. They trapped you in your own vanity, trapped you in your own ego. So you keep wanting more, more attention, more admiration. And all you're doing is bringing yourself close to them so they can punish you. That's why he said, behold, my people is led as a flock to the slaughter. Because more sin we get into, we destroying ourselves. See, some races, when they get into sin, they want to destroy the entire world. But when we get into something, as I said before, we are doing it to destroy each other and ourselves. It ain't white folk. It ain't white supremacy. It ain't KKK. It ain't racism. It ain't systematic racism. And it damn sure not the government. It's us. We still can't take those blinders off and see it's us. We see foolishness of our own people getting done. We don't say nothing. We keep letting it go. We come up with this motto, let people enjoy things. We the ones came up with hot girl summer. What's the other one? City girls, city boys, black boy joy. White folk don't come up with none of that. They live their lives. Asians live their life. Spanish live their life the way they want to live. In their heritage, in their own mind. We are the only ones that come up with more and more programming of our own stupidity and try to make it cute and say it's our culture. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Egypt. I will not suffer them. He can't stand we live in this country. He can't stand when y'all do Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Easter Sundays. He can't stand when y'all go into these churches. He can't stand it. I know he can't stand our people playing sports. He sees anything that takes us away from him as the worst thing ever that could be created. Anything that removes our heart and our spirits away from the Most High, our Creator, I know it destroys them. I know it hurts. To sit here and make you from clay, like, or as if you were clay, make you, shape you, put together a life plan for you. And everybody has different life plans, but I'm sure everybody has a plan to be righteous, but decided to go the other way and think that you know better than your Creator. Your plan is better than his plan. Your way better than his way. Your path better than his path. And sometimes you don't understand fully your plan and your path. No one, none of us fully understands where we're going, but all that's what the whole thing about faith is about. I'm going to go on. But I will bring them with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and smite Egypt with plagues as before and will destroy all the land thereof. Egypt shall mourn and the foundation of it shall be smitten with the plague and punishment that Elohim shall bring upon it. They that till the ground shall mourn, for their seed shall fail through the blasting and hail with the fearful constellation. Woe to the world and them that dwell therein. For the sword and their destruction draws nigh, and one people shall stand up and fight against another, and swords in their hands. Now, you could take swords and say guns in their hands. For there shall be sedition among men and invading one another, and they shall not regard their kings nor princes, and the course of their actions shall stand in their power. A man shall desire to go into a city and shall not be able. For because of their pride, the city shall be troubled. The houses shall be destroyed and men shall be afraid. A man shall have no pity upon his neighbor, but shall destroy their houses with the sword and spoil their goods because of the lack of bread and for great tribulation. So the Most High already back then was talking about inflation, was talking about the food crisis, and was talking about how people will act in these end times. That's what I said. Start distancing yourself away from friends and family and bystanders and neighbors who aren't in the same walk as you. Because they're going to be coming for blood. And you want to build up your hedge where they think twice even coming to your doorstep. The other fools who are led like a flock to the slaughter, they are going to attract what we repel. Do you understand that? They are going to attract what we repel. So we're going to walk outside full of righteousness and we won't get tried. Those who are part of wickedness, who are full of sin, they are going to get everything that their sinful activities have gotten them or will get them. Behold, says Elohim, I will call together all the kings of the earth to reverence me, which are from the rising of the sun, from the south, from the east, and Lebanon, to turn themselves one against another and repay the things that they have done to them. So if one country shorted another country, he going to get that country to rise up against that country. If Germany had a problem with Russia, Russia going to have a problem with Germany. If India going to have a problem, whatever country they're next to, that country, that's the beauty of this. What you're about to see, you're not about to see Freemasons, the Jesuits, or Rome's plans. You're seeing the Most High's plans. Like as they do yet this day unto my chosen, so will I do also in recompense in their bosom, thus says Yahuwah Elohim. Now, let's go back to Jalen Walker. Even though he may be in the wrong, even though he lives sinfully, the actions of those police officers, everything that any police brutality victim have gone through, it will be done as recompense on somebody else, on those who are connected to that foolishness or connected to those crimes. That's why I don't understand why y'all need to march and protest or put black squares up or say Black Lives Matter or do whatever, change your avatar or change your bio, you know, for social justice. Don't need to do none of that. Just post these scriptures. Get everybody to wake up and know that we don't have to do nothing. We don't. It is nothing we can do or going to do, or it is no matter what weapon we choose, we are never going to conquer our enemies that way. I'd rather the Most High do them. Like in scripture says, never be scared of somebody that could take your life, but be scared of somebody that could take your life and soul. That's what you should be more afraid of. That's the type of power that you want to be displayed on your enemies. Anybody could take a life, but somebody to take your life and soul? Woo! Damn. That's heavy. That's heat. I would rather send my enemies to the Most High rather than me deal with them. I mean, I can get them good. We all can get our enemies good. I know some of y'all come in righteousness and got your enemies in your mind and know exactly who you would pick out. If the Most High said go hunt, I know exactly. I know right now, picture whoever you got in your mind of wickedness, the Most High said go get them. I know. Y'all will go get them. I know y'all got somebody in your mind right now that y'all wish y'all can put hands on. But there's only so much you could do. Yeah, you could knock them out. Yeah, you could take their life. But at the end of the day, fam, I'd rather send somebody to a power that can snatch life and soul and the generation of your children. I'd rather give my enemies over to the Most High so he can deal with them. Because that's how it's going to happen. My right hand shall not spare the sinners, and my sword shall not cease over them that shed innocent blood upon the earth. The fire has gone forth from his wrath and has consumed the foundations of the earth and the sinners, like the straw that is kindled. Woe to them that sin and guard not my commandments, say Yahuwah. I will not spare them. Go your way, ye children, from the power. Defile not my sanctuary. So go on about your business. If you want to follow my commandments, you don't want to do my statutes, you want to, you know, sit on your couch in your faith, go that way. Don't defile my sanctuary. Don't defile my people. Don't come over here. Stay over there. For Yahuwah knows all them that sin against him, and therefore delivers them unto death and destruction. For now are the plagues that come upon the whole earth, and ye shall remain in them, for Elohim shall not deliver you, because ye have sinned against him. That's powerful. That's real. That ain't CERN. And it shouldn't be your concern. It should be these statutes and the commandments to be hid when he start unleashing people against each other. That's when you don't want to be tested. That's when you don't really don't want to unnecessarily put your faith to test. You don't want to play these type of games. You want to start now. Start where you got a chance, where you can get your footing, like training, like you're a boxer. You might want to, if you have a weak jab or a weak hook or a weak straight arm, this is the time to perfect it. Perfect your faith. This is a perfect time. This is great sparring to start right now. But I was blessed. Blessed. I know that a couple episodes, somebody pointed out to me, oh, you said you were punished and then here you are engaged. Fam, I was punished. I was punished. I met the woman that I'm going to marry when I was in the ninth grade. We dated, which is what you call a little, you know, teenage love affair. We dated. I don't even know how many months we dated. We dated. We were on the same track team together. There's only been one picture of us in school together. And she had kept that picture the entire time. Now, let me show you where our paths went. That so you should understand how the Most High works. I would call it irony. But I call it, this is how the Most High has been managing me my entire life. Basically us, my entire life. So we both grew up in Maryland. I grew up in La Plata. She grew up in Charles County, which is literally 20 minutes apart from us, from each other. I switched high schools and started to go at their high school, which is Westlake High School in Charles County, Maryland. That's where we met, at ninth graders. We dated. We were on the same track team together. Thought, you know, calling ourselves being in love. Then I moved. I moved to State College. I didn't even think nothing about it. I didn't think about nothing about anybody when I moved. My life plan started. So at the time, I was out being a violent hoe. I went to Penn State. I went to Kansas City. The whole time, she went to a college in Maryland. She became a Delta, you know, which is a sorority. She got married early, had two gorgeous daughters. Me, I'm still in the streets. There was a lot for me to go through. It was a lot of punishment for me to understand. My path is different. My path was to go through this tough upbringing, these tough circumstances, this spiritual blindness that I was in. I was supposed to go through this. If I didn't go through it, I don't know where I don't think I would be in this seat talking to you. I don't think I would talk about the blessings of the Father. I don't think I would talk about scripture. I don't think I would be talking about what I talk about on social media if I didn't go through that path. But he made all of my crooked straight. So the time where I was out being a hoe, a violent hoe at that, got into being a functioning alcoholic, a functioning drug addict, getting out of football, all of this, she comes back into my life 4 or 5 years ago. She's talking about her situation with her husband. And at me at the time, I'm thinking I'm still in my vanity. Mind you, I am still thinking my wife is a trophy wife. I'm still thinking light skin. I'm still thinking Latin. I'm still thinking Spanish. I'm still thinking, you know, a mixed chick. I'm still thinking a foreign nation, a stranger. I'm still thinking that way. So I really don't take her serious as to thinking that this is going to be my wife. But after the year that she had separated, because he was cheating on her, doing all type of wildness. So I get a vision, which is her picking me up, dropping me off at a store. And like I said, the Most High's dreams, his visions are very distinct from all the other dreams I have ever gotten. His dreams are bright, they're shiny, they're glittering, everything shines, everything sparkles. That's how I know it was the Most High. So I go into the store, and at that time, my mind was thinking about buying me and my child an air hockey table. So I go into the store, it's an air hockey table, and my child is in this dream. I look at the wall around me. It has nothing but Maryland plates around it. And I go, oh, I love Maryland. Not knowing the Most High has put this woman in my face, in my vision, knowing that we both are from Maryland, showing me the sparkling, everything glittering, Maryland, 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 Maryland. I still don't get it because my mind's still trapped in my vanity. So I blow it off. I still go do what I'm doing. I'm still coming out of a little bit, but I'm still doing ecstasy. I'm still doing MDMA. I'm still in the street being a hoe a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. I'm still coming out of it. So another dream comes to me. And he's showing me her. Like, no, this is who I want you to have. And I still don't believe it. So I try to fight and I try to rebel against the Most High as who he has chosen for me. I went to scripture. Oh, divorce. I can't be with her if she's divorced. And then then through my own detriment, my own spirit, I'm shown the scripture that says you're allowed to marry a woman that's been divorced if the partner has been an adulterer. So I was like, ah. Because like I said before, I'm not thinking this woman is my type. I mean, yeah, we dated in school, but I feel like I've grown since then. I feel like my vanity, I need a Beverly Peel. You know what I mean? I need a vanity. A Denise Matthews and a Lee. I told you before, this is how my brain was wired. I had to deprogram me harshly for me to understand the full picture. So all the girls I've been chasing have either turned or flipped on me, or we blocked each other, or we've had falling outs. And I tried to force myself on these women. And the more I try to force, the old me would come out. I would snap. I would get aggressive. I would yell. I would scream. I would throw things. And I think, I should just settle for being a hoe. I should just be cool with my little side chick, my little guma, and I should just have sex whenever I feel like it and just whatever. Be softly in the word, softly in it. Not really take it serious. Then we started trying to move towards each other. I started softening my stance. I realized that the women that I used to be at my disposal are all gone or moved on. And I've lost the knack to go out in clubs, to go out in bars, to find new women. Somehow I lost that spirit, that pop-off. I call it the pop-off spirit. I lost that pop-off spirit. So 2 or 3 years, all we're doing is fighting. I think because we're both in our 40s, you know, we're set in our ways sometimes. So she's coming from, you know, a man cheating on her, a man lying on her, a man doing her dirty. And she comes to me without a release of what to do with all that energy. And she brings her past, her baggage onto me. And we repel each other because we're trying to be stubborn. I think she's like the mother of my child because we used to always argue. She thinks I'm like her ex-husband. So we'd be good for 2 weeks, then we'll fall apart for 2 weeks. We'll talk good for a week, then we won't speak each other for a whole month. And we did this for at least 2 to 3 years. We really did. I can't tell you how many times I got on my knees and prayed to the Most High, send me somebody new. This one broken. I've done that. I yelled, I screamed. I tried to get him, give me a bill of divorce. I ain't even married to this woman. Give me a bill and send me a new chick. Most High, you can do everything. You the creator of everything. You can't tell me you can't bring me a new chick to me. I said this. Ignorantly, I tested the Most High, which I shouldn't have done, which is why he punished me for certain things. But I was young. I was young in spirit. I was frustrated. You said, this is my woman. I'm trying to turn around into thinking like, okay, this is going to be my woman. So how do I do this? So I tried to force on her how to walk like an Israelite woman. I mean, it's tough. I mean, she's not practicing Delta. She's not. I mean, like I said, I'll go through the ironies later, but she's not a practicing Delta. So it wasn't like I was fighting against that. It was just something that's new to her. When you're in your 40s and you now get into a part where, oh, I want to be with this man, but this man got rules too. Like, oh, I don't want to do that. And I keep telling her, it's not my rules. It's the Most High's rules. I'm trying to be under law. I'm trying to do this walk right to appease a power higher than myself. I'm trying to serve something higher than myself. And at that point in time, she didn't see it. So we had a lot of arguments with that. But I would have to go to the Most High, even in my own stubbornness, because I would be like, you know what? I was thinking about sinning. Like I told you before in my other episodes, I got to a point where I was testing the Most High. Well, if you don't want to fix it, I'll just go back to being a hoe. I'll just go back to sleeping around. I'll just go back to fornicating. As if I wasn't going to be back on my knees to ask the Most High for forgiveness. I was doing that. Every time we would fight, I'd be like, I might as well fornicate then. I've done that. I've given up before. I tried his hand. I tried to be like, all right, you know what? If you want to send me this person to argue with, I'm going to go this way. And he had to keep correcting me. He knew in my heart I wanted to do great, but he knew how I am with being frustrated. He knew how I am about handling disappointing situations. He knows what I'm like. He knows my reactions. He has shaped me. He knows exactly my flaws. He knows them. So he gave me long suffering and grace and mercy to watch me figure this out. So then it was a time where she had came over and I was trying to do this. At that time, I thought the Shabbat was on Fridays and Saturdays. So I had another woman over watching. We was watching some biblical movie and she showed up unannounced to my house. Oh, man, it was a scene. And then at that point in time, I after that day, after she left and it stormed off and the other girl left, I got on my hands and knees and I said, Most High, I do not want to go between two women. Please just show me who am I supposed to marry. Please show me the woman of my who. I said this prayer exactly. I said, you have given Sarah to Abraham. You gave him Rebekah to Isaac. You gave Jacob his wives. You gave him wives of righteousness. Please show me who is going to be my wife, please, because I do not want to keep bed hopping. I do not want to keep going between women. The very next night, he showed her a vision, not one, but two. The first vision she got was us going into, I guess, shopping. And I was just she said I was just grabbing things that were expensive and put them in the cart. And she said, she turned back and said, oh, that's expensive. You're going to pay for it? And I told her, oh, I got it. Which is like a big jewelry box, she said. Which could have been the ring I was getting her. She don't even know. She still don't understand it. But it was a vision. She said it was all glittery. Everything was white. Everything was shining. The same type of dreams that I've gotten about her before. So she said we just walked out of the store. And it was a new car. And you said hi to somebody. And that was it. Then she said she had another one where a white lady stood in front of a house that was on the corner of a block and she handed us keys. So she told me this and she remembered, this is somebody who doesn't have dreams. I have dreams literally every single night. This woman don't have no dreams. It's like I walk into a movie theater every time I have dreams. This woman don't even have a matinee showing. Not even a commercial when she sleeps. But she's been given two visions that she can distinctly remember, lucid dreams. That's when I knew. I was like, all right, this is the woman then. That at that point in time, the Most High gave me no excuses. He gave me no way, no outs. He said, this is your woman. I know you like those type of women. I know you like those industry chicks. But These women are not going to have your back, are not going to work with you, are not going to be patient with you, as is this woman I'm giving you. I had to, trust me, I had to see it for myself. So even when we fought, our fighting started to become minimum. We started praying together. I started praying for her. Fellas, it's not going, and when you meet your person, trust me, y'all gonna be on two different levels of understanding, two different levels in your walk. The Most High has taught me patience because He is patient with me, so I try hard to be patient with my soon-to-be wife because I understand her background. I understand the hurt she's been through. So our arguing had become less and less and less, and we would go 2 months without ever arguing. We'd maybe have an argument, and it would blow over in 3 days. It wouldn't take 2-3 weeks for us to, you know, for us to do the whole not speaking thing. And we would both break. We would both feel like we're right, and we would in the end of it, we'd be like, "Look, I'm sorry." We would come out and apologize before we didn't do that. So the Most High is going to give you who is going to be perfect for your spirit, perfect for your walk, not perfect for your vanity, not perfect for Instagram, not perfect for Facebook. You have to understand that part of it. And most times y'all don't even know, y'all have been walking past your person or your significant other or the person that y'all is going to introduce to your life, y'all don't even know a sitting up underneath your nose. Y'all don't even understand that part. Y'all don't even know that because you have blinders on, if either it's your vanity or your flesh, y'all are walking past your forever every single day or every other day and don't even know it. The only reason why I've settled to be married now or found my person now is because I had to be deprogrammed, and it took me forever to be deprogrammed because the way I live my life, because the path that was laid before me. My work is different from her work or her journey. I would feel like, oh man, if I had found the Most High earlier, I don't think it would have been her. I just don't think it would work the same way. Everything happened perfectly. I came back to righteousness. She came out of a marriage that didn't serve her. We kind of bond over things that was lacking in our other relationships. We found a rest for each other, a peace. I can't even explain it. It's a peace that we find with each other. And it wasn't just our connections to ninth grade. It's the fact that we knew each other when we were innocent. We knew it, we didn't know much. But we don't let that be the foundation. It's the fact that we complement each other in certain areas that we know that is our flaw. I could depend on her. As far as I couldn't depend on anybody, I couldn't fully trust anybody because I couldn't fully trust myself. If I can't trust myself and how I react or handle things, I know I'm not going to handle another female, another woman. And men, you have to think about that. But the ironies are this. The high school we went to were the same colors as the Miami Dolphins. That teal, orange, and white. Same exact colors. We reconnect where? In Miami, which is the home of what? The Dolphins. She was a cheerleader at the high school and was a cheerleader in college. My child's mother was a cheerleader. She, in this Gregorian calendar, is a Libra. The last female I proposed to was a Libra. So the Most High knows where my crooked paths were being laid, that He was going to smooth them out. Me, I like strange women. So He basically took the strange women that I had the similarities. He knew I was going to wake up and find out that my life was planned and my path was laid to be directly attached with this woman by these ironies that I came to the knowledge of. I sit back and be like, the Most High is amazing. I sit back and be thinking like, I really can't believe this whole time I went through this whole life to end up with a woman I dated in ninth grade. I went through all of this and all these similarities with even, where do you think Freemasons and all this occult get symbolism from? The Most High uses symbolism in his own way. It's beautiful. But you have to pay attention. You have to have some righteousness in you. You have to actually, you know, get into the scriptures to develop your spirit, your discernment, so you can see these things, so you can actually see that your partner has been walking past you or you've been talking to your forever and don't know it. If you look at the little ironies in your life, when you match things up, you can kind of tell where your life is going to go a little bit. I still think about that. Like, I used to throw up the rock or throw up the diamond. She threw it up in college. The fact that we both, her being a Delta, wearing red, and me in Kansas City wearing red, and we both throwing up the dynasty sign or throwing up that Delta sign, it, fam, it don't get no more weird. I wouldn't say weirder. It just don't get no more lucid than that. That you should see, like, I see these things. So that's when I rest with it. And the more I was with her, I started being blessed with her. Like, I would plan dinner dates. And then I'm thinking, like, with no reservations, man, we finna sit in the back. I forgot what it's called out here, but it was like a little cute jazz restaurant out here. And we walked in with no reservations. We literally sat in the middle of the table to watch a jazz performance. Or I would be running late, and it'd be a parking spot already there close to the restaurant where we were going. It's little things that we're being, like, we would be blessed. Like, we're blessed when we're with each other, and we kind of suffer when we're not with each other. So it goes back to the whole, you know, we come one flesh. So now we become one union, or soon to become one union, and it's amazing because I see us being blessed by following the Most High's laws and the fact that we are together. Now, I've tried to make it work with somebody else. I tried to be like, you know what? She can go back to wherever she's doing. I'm going to go over here and try to see what this be like. And it would be friction. It would be friction between, it'd be arguments for no reason. So I'm like, the Most High really don't want me to be with this woman. He really wants me to be with this woman he has picked out for me. I need to stop rebelling. I need to stop entertaining my flesh and my vanity because I don't want to get punished. I really don't want me to be caught in the cold when all these plagues start to hit because I was hard-headed. So I started to follow harsh, really hard and really closely to his plan and have been blessed this entire way. It's been amazing to look at my life and look at the person I'm going to spend my life with and be blessed and be happy and be filled with joy. I never had that in most of my previous relationships. It was a fight. It was a war most of the time. And most of the time it was because it's me, because I was cheating. Like I said, I couldn't trust you if I couldn't trust myself. But now I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about fornicating. I don't have to worry about side chicks. I don't have to worry about having two phones with two different numbers. I don't have to worry about leaving my phone out and thinking she's going to go through it. I don't have to worry about my DMs on Instagram. I don't have to worry about, you know, back shots of her all on social media. I don't have to worry about guys going through her DMs. I literally am thinking that we are going to be protected like Abraham and Sarah were protected when they came across the Philistines and when they came across the Egyptians. That's how I look at it. I look at it following it closely so I can be protected in my union, that my household can be protected. It's beautiful once you guys find your person. It comes from you finding the Most High first. Once you serve the Most High in his word and his path and his truth, he will give you someone that will complement your walk, that you can be a covering. That's why they keep saying it's a covering, that the person that you're going to cover, your vessel, is not going to be on the same page as you right away, that you have to bring them in closely. You got to bring them in out of the rain. to be a covering so they can grow under your tutelage, under your household, under your roof. That is going to be your biggest, that is going to be your greatest student, is the person that you are going to spend your forever with. That's going to be your greatest student, your biggest supporter. Like, she is my biggest supporter. She may not understand most of what I'm talking about when I talk about Freemasons and, you know, the originating of Greek society. She may not understand it, but she's by me. She may not understand all of the feast days, the holidays, and the calendars, but she's with me. She hasn't told me, no, she's not going to do it. She's been with me this whole time. I know a lot of you Israelite men, you think, oh, I got to have an Israelite woman. She got to do this, 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 and this. Fam, it don't work that way. I thought it did. It don't work that way. I thought, here come the reincarnation of Aaliyah, an Israelite woman, coming into my presence, and boom, it's off. We off and running. Fam, it ain't going to work that way. You want to get that fantasy out your mind. It's work. It's a journey. It's simplistic and it's basic. And it's not rooted in vanity, because the Most High does not like vain things. He doesn't like vain thinking. Everything is natural. It's beautiful. It's the way it should be. It is us who has been perverted, manipulated, and with our spiritual blinders on. It's us who have to remove the mud, the dirt, the wood, the plank out of our eyes so we can see these blessings in front of us. Next episode, I'm going to talk about submission, because with her, it's not even issue to be a submissive woman. When you walk with a man of righteousness, it's very easy for a woman to be submissive. So I'm going to go into the next episode to talk about a woman being submissive or your partner being submissive. And I know I'm going to bring out an example of that. It's going to be the girl who's dating Cam Newton, Jazzy, whatever her name. She's a comedian, and she came out and talked about how she's a submissive woman to that man. So I'm going to go into that next episode. But I really wanted to jump off this point of explaining my engagement, explaining the history we have, explaining our walk and journey, so you don't believe because of the Instagram post that, plow, I was righteous and Most High just dropped this woman in my lap. No, it didn't. It wasn't like that. It was like I said before, everything overlaps, everything builds up, and it built up to where I was ready. Men, it depends on you. It doesn't depend on the women. It depends on you. It starts with you. Like it says in scripture, man is the head of the house and Yah is the head of the household. It starts with us. If you want to find your person, come to these laws, come to these statutes, get in righteousness, so that woman could be drawn out to you and you can be that covering for her. She can be your rest. Okay? I see y'all next episode.